Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
So no one likes to be interrupted. I don't like interruption, and I'm sure you don't either. But our day-to-day lives are filled to the brim with things that seek to intercept our flow. Ads, social media, texts, the news, all of these things want our attention. You know, we get social media for free because we're for sale. Our attention is for sale. I don't know if you've watched television lately, but sometimes I think I am watching ads that also have some television in it. I don't know if you know, but tonight there's a Bad Bunny concert that has some football around it. Go Pats, obviously. Amen. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise God. The Pats are going to lose, but I believe in them. But tonight we are going to see commercials that cost millions of dollars, and hopefully at some point someone will play football, right? And it's going for our attention, pulling us in, trying to get our eyeballs. But today I want to offer a new way of being interrupted. This way will free us to make God's kingdom dwell among us as we allow the right things to interrupt how things are. The first thing I'm going to say today, the first thing you can put either in your paper notes or if you have the Church Center app, you can actually take digital notes, is this. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. So last week we talked about how important it is to be with people in worship. That has a lot to do with what I was sharing in that little interstitial before I began to preach. You know, this moment of being together in this space, pausing, that the world keeps going on outside, but we are in here. We will break bread together. We will drink coffee together. We will share our prayer requests, our burdens. We will be generous together. We will sing together. All of those things are so vitally important. And like I said, we all learned a new habit. We all checked in. Thank you so much. The participation was so much higher than I expected. I'm so proud of you. But by being in worship most of the time, 90% even, it is easier for people to become holy. When we share community together, it is easier for us to become like Christ. And ultimately, we count people because people count. The reason why we want you to check in is not so that we can keep track of you, but so that we can make sure that it's harder for you to disappear. We want to be a church where we have a wide open front door and a teeny tiny little back door so that folks know that when they go missing, they will be missed. Today, may we continue to see how people matter by being willing to be interrupted. May we seek to be interrupted. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. All right, we're going to read scripture in just a moment, but before I do that, introverts, take a deep breath. I believe in you. I want you to turn to someone near you, and bonus points if it isn't the person that you came with, and I want you to share a pet peeve that you have. Turn to someone near you and share a pet peeve that you have. What's a pet peeve? Ready, go. Wow, there are so many of you that are just so zen. You don't have any pet peeves, you know. Other people's behavior doesn't affect you at all. I'm so impressed. May I be like you when I grow up? Let me go even crazier. Let me hear some. Yeah, Haley.
People that chew loudly.
People that chew loudly. Can I get an amen? Yes, absolutely. That sort of thing is really terrible. Yeah, Nick.
Shopping carts not being put back.
Listen, there are two kinds of people in the world, good people and people that don't bring their shopping carts back. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. God loves all. God loves all. But yes, when I see a shopping cart, I either think, you know, something terrible has happened. This person got, ran away or something. Or why would they not return the cart? Yes, absolutely. Zach.
Slow drivers in the left lane.
Slow drivers in the left lane. Yeah. I was coming home from Disney the other night and someone was going 57 in a 70. And you know the thing about your horn on your car is you can just press it down. You don't have to lift it up at all. And it's not illegal, despite what my wife wants me to believe. And so I just got up behind them and just let them know. And then I, you know, anyways. Give me one more. Susan?
When the light
Yeah, instantly. Yeah, you want to give a couple minutes? Yeah. So that was you. my uncle. No, you don't. Of course not. Yeah. My Uncle Ray used to say, buddy, it's not going to get any greener. And I remember that as kind of my guiding, my lighthouse that I directed myself from. Though I didn't learn how to drive in Boston, I was taught in the ways of Boston driving, you know, like it's about survival more than arrival. So these pet peeves that exist in our lives, they're these things that hit us in a different way. You know, people can be annoying, but pet peeves are those things that kind of get underneath our skin. I was sharing with my friend Vicky here that for me, it's when I'm on the phone, if someone tries to talk to me while I'm on the phone, it's not so much that it's annoying. It's I feel as if my brainstem gets disconnected from my head. Like it's like, like I just short out. It feels as if someone has unplugged the television of my life. I can't. Have you ever been around a dog and the person over there calls the dog, but this person calls the dog? I'm the dog. I'm like, and I find it so overwhelming. No one likes to be interrupted. Our regular flow, getting interrupted by someone else, is something that we don't like. One of the ones that we got shared with at chapel is when you're in a crowded area and you're in a walkway, operative word, walk, and someone's decided that it's a standway, you know? This comes up for me, or I'm sure for you as well. If you're ever at Disney and you're walking somewhere, you don't want to be interrupted. You're trying to get to the Peter Pan because the wait time is low or whatever, and someone's just like, wow, look at where we are, you know? And they've decided that the middle of the walkway is where they want to take in the sights, right? And then at that point, I'm in their backpack. They turn and look at me like I've done something wrong, and if I had a horn, I would honk it. When our flow gets interrupted, we get frustrated. To that end, let us read from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. If you've got a paper Bible, you can open it up or you can watch it on the screen. Here at Shepherd's, we have a tradition where the reader will say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, and you'll say, thanks be to God. But then we like to add a little extra oomph on the end, and we add the word woo. So be ready with your woo. So hear the word of the Lord. One day when Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and legal experts were sitting nearby. They had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Now the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal. Some men were bringing a man who was paralyzed, lying on a cot. They wanted to carry him in and place him before Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they took him up on the roof and lowered him, cot and all, through the roof tiles into the crowded room in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, if you've got a paper Bible or you're able to highlight it all, I want you to highlight the word their faith. He said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The legal experts and Pharisees began to mutter among themselves, who is this who insults God? Only God can forgive sins. Jesus recognized what they were discussing and responded, why do you fill your minds with these questions? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But so that you will know that the human one has authority on the earth to forgive sins, Jesus now spoke to the man who was paralyzed. I say to you, get up, take your cot, and go home. Right away, the man stood before them, picked up his cot, and went home, praising God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. All right, we read this passage. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is doing the Jesus thing. He is talking to people, and because it's Jesus, the space is crowded. There's no room for anyone to get in. The people are so wrapped in their attention, looking and trying to understand what Jesus is saying, and the Pharisees are there trying to find the ways that he's going to mess up. They're listening intently, and they don't see that some people are trying to get in. In this sort of to help you kind of understand this setting and where this is, I want you to think about maybe a concert. Amanda and I, we love going to concerts. If you've met Amanda, you'll know she's so small and I am so big. And my job at concerts is to essentially be her force field. You know, I don't want her to know how crowded it is. And, you know, it is not uncommon for us to be at a concert for her to turn and look and be like, there's not a lot of people here. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like, it's hardly anyone here, right? This is crazy. And so I was doing this. We went to see Taking Back Sunday, and we got there early so that we could get close to the stage, right, friends? We're talking about pet peeves again. This whole sermon's about pet peeves. No. And so we got to the concert early so that we could get close. That's what the law of the land is, right? But about two songs in, everyone behind us decided that that wasn't the law and that they could get closer just by pushing. And they didn't know that I was there, apparently, because that's not how that works. Another guy next to me was bigger than me, and his wife was smaller than Amanda, like very, very tiny. And we had an unspoken agreement that we were going to be the wall of dudes preventing anyone from getting in front of us. And I'll never forget the feeling of a young lady pressing her face against my arm and this arm of the guy next to me saying, "You're too tall." To which I was like, I'm sorry. I don't know why this is my problem. But this is the setting that I want you to think about with Jesus. Jesus is teaching. He's into his, you know, halfway through his second set. And people are pressing to try and get in. And people are blocking the doorway. These friends see this and know that they're going to have to do something radical for their friend's life to change. Norms get violated in this story. The normative way of doing things are getting changed. Two norms were at work here. The first one is very simple. You just don't enter a house through a roof. You just don't do that, friends, right? You know, the front door, the back door, maybe you jimmy a window open, but most of the time, you are not going to come into a house through a roof. Call me old-fashioned, but you don't go through a roof to get into a house. And the second one, and more importantly, is that God's grace is not free. That's what the norm Jesus was in. The norm was that people had to earn God's grace, and Jesus, in one fell swoop, violates that norm and says that grace is free, and if you really have to, you come in through the roof. Jesus overthrows both of these norms, and we, like the Pharisees, are overcome by the healing and the price of the grace. The fact that this grace is free should be and is a bit offensive to all of us. The most difficult thing that I believe as a follower of Jesus is that there is nothing that I can do to make God love me more, and there is nothing that I can do to make God love me less. And in this story, we see Jesus putting this into action. And if we're going to follow Christ, we have to come to grips with grace that is free. If you're really going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to come to grips with this reality that there is nothing you can do to earn God's grace. It is already given to you freely. These friends, they see that they need to get their friend in front of Jesus to receive this free grace. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. This passage shows us that our faith can heal others. I asked you to underline the word "there." When Jesus saw their faith, it made me think about this person on the cot. As the person was laid there, he had come to grips with the reality that he was going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. He'd come to grips with the reality that he was never going to move again. He knew that he was never going to be healed. But he had at least two friends, maybe even more, that knew that that did not have to be the case. There are problems in this world that only faith can solve. There are problems in this world that only faith can solve. And friends, let me tell you, I am not talking about some sort of wish upon a shooting star. I mean faith. Faith that says, "Come on, buddy, we're going to see Jesus." The kind of faith that hears someone complaining from the cot that it's too bumpy. The kind of faith that says it's too crowded for us to get in. Someone give me a boost. The kind of faith that sees a roof and thinks we could probably get through that. You know, the architecture of this time was a little bit different than our time, for sure. You know, Palestinian roofs were not made of, metal. They didn't have any sort of R rating or anything like that. But, you know, a roof is a roof, and it's pretty expensive to replace a roof. To rip up a roof means that one has to have enough faith to know that they're going to be able to cover the deductible, right? That they're going to be able to help with the cost of repairs. And friends, this was not a named storm. And so you know what that means. The deductible is even higher, right? And so I think about this space. It's so crowded, and everyone is in this house, and they're seeing the roof open up, and everyone is amazed by the faith of these friends. Everyone, of course, the person that owns the house, you know, they're like, everyone's like, yay. And one's like, why are you cheering? This is my house. You know, it's going to rain later. What am I going to do? Someone get a bucket. You know, this is the reality that this faith is not some sort of idea. This is the kind of faith that lets your hands get in the tiles and rip them up. How many of you have ever done roofing as like a summer job or something? Yeah, you didn't want to keep doing it, right? All right, that is definitely a summer job, not a multiple summer job. It's a great way to provide for your family, and boy, do you earn every penny that you make. I was a roofer for actually a couple summers, and it doesn't get any better. Summer is by far the worst time to be on a roof, but you make it to where it is hard to get through. These friends had faith enough that they went through the tiles, they went through the brick. They saw the rafter and they moved a little bit so that they had enough space to lower their friend. That's the kind of faith, friends, that this church, this world desperately needs from this church. If we want to see our neighborhood changed, we might need to ruin a roof or two. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. So this week, as you read The Walk by Adam Hamilton, we're doing this as a church. If you don't have the book, it's okay. You'll kind of get the gist here. If you're able to pick up the Kindle version, or I think we have maybe a couple of copies left, you can start reading along with us. But we're going to be reading this week together a passage or the chapter around service, serving the world around us. Our book this week will talk about service as a willingness to be interrupted, a willingness to be interrupted. My dad's favorite show growing up was Pardon the Interruption. Have you guys ever seen this on ESPN? It was two men, I think they were friends, but you couldn't tell by the way they talked to each other. They would say one thing and then the other would interrupt them, and they would interrupt. And it was like watching dinner at my house as a kid. Like, it was, everyone was interrupting everyone. They were talking, they were interrupting. Interruptions, as we've talked about, can be a pet peeve. It interrupts our flow. But these interruptions that the book is talking about this week, and we see in this passage, is simply the interruption of the way things are. This way of viewing service requires us to see our neighborhood as our responsibility. Interruptions come to us when we have this perspective, when we see others in need. It stops our flow. It interrupts the way that we are going. It causes us to pause and to reflect. May we as a church seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. So our call is to put our faith into action, and we will become people marked by random acts of kindness. Now, here's an important thing. We as a church, as a community, we serve our neighborhood not through random acts of kindness alone. We as a church support the ministries around us and the way that we love our neighborhood as if we are paying the electric bill. We pay into these programs that we support as if they are the electric bill. It is not something that we do if we have a little bit left over. We are not tossing coins into a bucket. We are prioritizing this service. So hear that first. But the problem that arises with serving in this way is that we as individuals miss out on our opportunity to be personally generous. When you tithe, when you give of your generosity, that is a systemic, that's a structural change in your heart. And yet, our day-to-day lives, we miss out on that opportunity to be generous. And so that's what random acts of kindness will gift us. The call is this: the people of Shepherds will commit 5 acts of kindness every week. Now, that's a lot. But let me tell you that the book, their call as a church, they have 5 acts of kindness every day. And friends, I'll be honest with you, I can't put up those numbers. I just can't. And I'm sure you can, but I'm not a good enough Christian like you are just yet. So I decided that it'd be better for us to set the goals as attainable. And so 5 acts of kindness every week. But even though that's attainable, let's do some quick math. So every Sunday here at Oaks Campus and at Chapel Campus, we average around 123 people in worship. That's how many people come to our building, sit, worship with us. And I'm so grateful for every last one of you. And then on our podcast, we have about 50 people that download the podcast every week and listen to the podcast. It's amazing. Around 50 people watch our live stream. How long do they watch it? I don't know. But they watch the live stream every week, about 50 people. And so for those of you with accountant minds, you know that that means about 223 folks on average that are participating in the life of the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's do some more math, and don't be impressed by this. I definitely did this beforehand. But 223 people times 5 means that every week, 1,115 acts of kindness are happening around us. 1,115 acts of kindness every single week. Now, blow that up even more. Over the course of the year, 57,980 acts of kindness will occur simply because we are all here. That means for the cost of being willing to be interrupted, almost 60,000 folks will know of God's love. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. So what about interruptions? What about these acts of kindness? Let's go back to our passage. First, the friends interrupt their day. I don't think that, vandalism was on anyone's calendar. I don't think, the friends were like, oh, on Tuesday, we can go and destroy someone's house to help our friend get healed. No, I think it was a spur of the moment sort of thing. I think these friends heard a rumor that this rabbi was coming and he had been healing people and they could help their friend paralyzed in the cot. And so they decided to interrupt their day. They called out of the Zoom meeting, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna be able to make it. They canceled the sales call. They told the refrigerator install guy he'd have to come back another day, and you know how hard that is. They interrupted their day, grabbed their friend and said, come on, we're going. They interrupted their day. The second interruption is that Jesus got interrupted. Jesus was teaching. Now, before I became your pastor, I was in youth ministry for 10 years, and let me tell you, I have been interrupted while preaching. I mean, my friends, it is not uncommon for me to have to dodge a dodgeball while I'm preaching. I put effort into my sermons to these 6th or 12th graders, and periodically, a really young one or an older one would just go, this is boring, and be like, well, I got another 10 minutes of talking to you, so buckle up, it's gonna get worse. These moments when you could just tell that someone is not paying attention, Jesus got interrupted. And though he was the God of the universe, I wonder if Jesus was like, wait a second, what part was I on? I forgot, love your neighbor? I feel like that was it. And then he had to just go back to that story that everyone had already heard before. Not that that's ever happened here. And so Jesus was interrupted. But most importantly, friends, and I want you to hold on to this, the way things go is interrupted in this passage. During Jesus's time, we can't miss this. This is an important bit of context. In Jesus's time, people that had physical ailments were assumed to have earned them. So a person that was paralyzed, a person that was blind, a person that had a shriveled hand, a person that had an evil spirit, the assumption was they had sinned in some way, and that is why they were paralyzed. Or maybe even their parents would have sinned and that's why they were paralyzed. That is what everyone knew about this person being lowered in on the cot. The person being lowered in on the cot, people would make assumptions about how hard they work. They would make assumptions about how good they are. We have this in our own time today, friends, don't we? We see someone asking for a dollar on the side of the road and we wonder, will they use that dollar to buy drugs or alcohol? We see someone begging because they have some need that they hold on a cardboard sign and we wonder, well, why aren't they out working? Why don't they have a job? Couldn't they pull themselves up from their bootstraps? Maybe we're checking out at the grocery store and we look and we see that someone has a WIC card and they're buying cupcakes and we wonder, why are my tax dollars going for cupcakes? We have this assumption about people that are in need. We hold that same sort of assumption. Jesus is calling us, friends, today for an interruption of the way things are. Jesus sees this person, sees the faith of their friends, and decides to heal them. What if, friends, what if our world, our church, could have enough faith to heal the people on the cot? Yes, the people that are asking sometimes don't need. Maybe they're abusing our generosity. Yes, yes, yes. What if our faith could heal them of that ailment? What if our faith could reach in past the way things are, the way things always go? Maybe we could reach past those things and Christ could heal them. May we interrupt for the sake of our people. In our lives, we will need to have eyes to see needs. We will need to have ears to hear what the Spirit tells us. What I'm not telling you is that your five acts of kindness every week is going to heal everyone so desperately that the world will change overnight. I think one of the reasons why I was bawling my eyes out on that couch as we watched Catherine O'Hara is because I think sometimes it's up to me to solve things. Hear the good news, my friends. You are actually not the savior of the world. Christ is. And you are not actually required to change the world and bring about God's kingdom by yourself. Christ is doing that through all of us. So you'll need ears to hear what your role is. The four friends carrying the cot couldn't have healed the friend. All they needed to do was to carry the cot, boost their friend onto the roof, and rip up the tiles. That was what their job was. Are you carrying a cot? Are you ripping up some tiles? Are you giving a boost? Or are you standing over the cot trying to tell your friend to get better? I wonder what our job is today. The Spirit will help us here. And then lastly, we will need to let go of our desire to determine who deserves grace and who deserves kindness. I look into the world and I identify the people that I disagree with and I wonder, how could God's grace reach them? Knowing full well that they, if they knew me, would be wondering, how does God's grace reach him? And I think if we can let go of our desire to determine who deserves, we might have a chance to see the person God wants us to see. When we see someone in need, instead of trying to understand if they are deserving of a solution, maybe we could see someone's baby, someone's child that grew up, made mistakes, continues to fail, but at some point was someone's baby. They handed out congrats cards to the parents. They brought casseroles to the house. They bounced this baby on their knee, and that baby made a lot of bad choices, and here they are. But I wonder if we could have faith enough to carry them on the cot. So this will be radical. Of all the parts of the walk, this will be the most radical. If we are doing this right, we will be challenged, desperately challenged. If we are doing this right, the world will be changed in small, sometimes imperceptible ways. The world will change. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. At our chapel campus, we have something we call the Share Shed. The Share Shed is a three-sided building that desperately needs some rehab. Pay attention to the announcements. We'll be doing that at some point. And it's got a little, you know, metal roof, and it's got paint that has been peeled for many years. It is well-loved by the Highland City community. It's a place where you can pick up a book. It's a place where you can pick up some food, maybe some clothes. I saw someone put a little chair for a little kid that's Spider-Man themed, and it's in the Share Shed. It's also a place where sometimes people put old mattresses, and I really wish they wouldn't do that. But we're working on it. And people bring these things, and they're small. People will post on Facebook, I brought some beans and some rice, and I'll look at the post, and it is a bag of rice, and it is a bag of beans. It is not a lot. And it's gone within minutes, because people have needs. There's a shelf, and it's just for adult diapers, which is a small thing that makes a world of difference to people that are in need. I see that shed, and I see a bunch of interruptions. Bunch of moments where people maybe don't have enough to share, but they know that they have enough to be generous. And they come and those drop those things. I wonder, friends, if everyone here, five times a week, could be interrupted. I know that 60,000 people will experience grace, and it'll be free, it'll be radical, and it will change the world. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. So you got two action points this week, two ways you can put this into action. The first is this. I want you to begin this week. I want you to begin this week, commit an act of kindness for every finger on your hand. Keep track of it with that, won't you? You can write it down if you want to, but what if you just put them on your fingers so you could remember them every day? And then the second one, I want you to start every day praying to God that you will see the needs in front of you and ears to hear the prompting of the Spirit. With five acts of kindness every week, we will begin to see the world change, but we will definitely see our own hearts change. You know, those friends, they brought their buddy on the cot in front of Jesus, and the guy's life was changed. His body was changed. Those friends, however, will always remember the day that they did just a little bit of vandalism, and their friend's life was changed forever. May we seek to interrupt for the sake of our people. Let's pray together.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.